You've received an adoption through whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not long ago, there was a man who was driving through Hollywood, California, really expensive place to live. And as he was driving through there, he noticed that there was a hitchhiker walking there on a lonely highway at night. And so he looked at himself and saw compassion within his heart and pulled over to go ahead and pick him up. And as he approached him, he pulled the car over, rolled down the window, and motioned for him to come on in. And so the man walked in, shut the door behind him, got buckled up, and began to proceed down the way. And the man didn't really look at him until they had already started to get on the road. And when he did and examined him, he realized that he knew him. He recognized him. This was the actor Michael Douglas, you know, that famous actor. And he just picked him up as a hitchhiker. He was in a stupor, dumbfounded. He couldn't say anything. He was just frozen there for minutes and minutes. And when he finally regained his composure in the slightest, the only thing that he could blurt out is he turned to him and looked at him and he said, "Do you know who you are?" Isn't that a good question? Do you know who you are? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Do you know who it is that you are? Do you know who our parish is here? Do you know why it is that we exist? What is our mission? I say this to you guys a lot, and I will continue to say it over and over again with such great frequency. I hope my plan is that either you just begin to say, "Father, that's old, we get that, we understand that," or that you come to the point that you're actually able to fill in the blank for me when I ask the question. So I ask you those questions right now. Who are you? We talk about this a lot. You don't got it yet. That's all right. We're going to keep going over and over and over again with it. Who are you? You're the beloved Son of God the Father. You're the beloved daughter of God the Father. You're the beloved Son, the beloved daughter on whom God's favor rests, meaning that he takes pleasure, he delights in who you are. And he makes a promise that I'm going to take care of you no matter what. No matter what happens. That's who you are. Well, what about our parish? Here at St. Rose of Lima, what is our identity? Why is it that St. Rose of Lima parish exists here in Santa Rosa, New Mexico? Okay, I'll tell you that again too. This is why we exist. The reason why we exist is so that we can offer every single person within the whole of Our Lady of Guadalupe County that life-changing encounter with the very person of Jesus Christ. So they can become his disciples, just like we are. So they can be able to give a credible witness for what he's done in their life, just like what we should be able to do who are here. Where did this identity of us as individuals come from? Where do we get that? Okay, you don't got that yet either. Right there. That's why we have the baptismal font right there. It's in baptism that we get that. Remember, we began Lent that way. Mark 1:1:1, Mark 1:11, which what happened? The baptism of Jesus, which is the same thing as our baptism. The exact same thing happened with Jesus as happens with us, and our baptismal identity is the person of Jesus Christ. Well, where do we get our mission from? This mission that I just laid out for you, where does it come from? That's right. It comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from what he says. That's what it is. That's what goes on. It comes from our gospel today that Deacon Marvin proclaimed so boldly for us right there. The mission which God has for us is one word. Go. Get out there. Do it. What? Proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to every single creature in existence. To do what? So that we can baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity who we are celebrating today, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And to teach every single person we encounter what? That's right. Exactly what Jesus taught us, taught the disciples. To teach them all things that he commanded, and he makes a promise saying, "I am going to be with you forever, no matter what." You're never going to be alone. See, that's something that Jesus promised not just for the first century, not just for those 12 disciples, those who are gathered there in his midst. That's your mission. That's my mission. That's all of our mission. It's not something that is here just for priests like Father Joseph and I. That's not just a mission that's for deacons like Deacon Marvin. That's not a mission who is just here for sisters like Sister Anne. It's not a mission that's only for our knights of the altar or for those who are our lectors or for those who are a part of our choirs. It's a mission for every single one of us, all of us. So get out there. Share the gospel. That's what our mission is. That's why we exist. Now, I want to focus ourselves on the second reading. Maybe the task for you is just to pull that out and read it over and over and over again throughout the whole of this homily, because that's what it's all rooted in, that second reading. What does St. Paul do there? St. Paul in Romans, he offers for us the urgency for why it is that we need to proclaim this gospel to everybody. What does he say there? He says this, and it's very important for us to look at. He says, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." What fear? What's the fear that he's talking about here? He doesn't really reference it in this part of Romans. What's that fear? Well, to be able to understand that, you got to know who it is that he's talking to. What's their culture? What's their worldview? What's going on within their lives? So we got to begin to understand that Greco-Roman mindset that was going on back in the first century to the people to whom he's writing. And their worldview is actually very similar to the worldview you see in the world today. I'll show you how. What was their worldview in the first century? What were they looking at in Paul's day? Think about it. They have all those pantheon of gods that are all around there, and they're not good gods. They're actually very extremely violent gods. They're sexual predators. They're capricious. They're arbitrary. They, in fact, even though with all their great power, they weren't even the ones who were in control. Everything that they did was subject to the authority of the fates who were above them. Why is it that the human person existed in their mindset, in their worldview back then? The only reason the human person existed was just to make the lives of the gods easier. Human beings were just the playthings of the gods. Human beings were just the slaves of the gods to do whatever they wanted with them without consequence. And in fact, it goes even further. Their worldview said that only men, masculine, the male, were important. Women were worth nothing. Only for the sexual pleasure and for what it is that they did in propagating the species. That's it. So what does that sort of mindset do to people? What does it make them feel like? What is the pervading sense that we get from that? You get despair. You get emptiness. You get meaningless. You get this fear that overcomes everything and pervades all that you are, because there's no real point to life. The only thing that you can do is what? Sort of maximize your pleasure and minimize your pain in some sort of way. For them, suffering is meaningless. For them, sex was meaningless. For them, life is meaningless. So what do? All you got to do is live your life as long as you can to lengthen your life. So you can grab everything it is that you possibly can as long as you can in life, because that's it. When you're dead, it's done. Does that sound familiar? That sound like what's going on in our culture today? Yeah, maybe we don't have all the fates. Maybe we don't have that great pantheon of gods that we entrust our lives to. But what about everything else? Certainly what we have is that overwhelming emptiness. We have that overwhelming sense of despair. We have that loss of understanding of the real inherent value of suffering, that it can have meaning. We have that loss of the sacred meaning of human sexuality. All these attitudes are attitudes that pervade the whole of our culture, everywhere it is that we look. Jesus Christ sent his apostles into that world, but with a different worldview, with a different take on everything. It's not like the disciples, the apostles said, "Hey, look, I've got this really good idea. I think this is going to change the world, guys. Let's do this." They didn't come up with something on their own. In fact, they received this worldview from truth. See, they receive this truth about the reality of the world from He who is truth itself. Jesus didn't just go around talking a good talk, spitting a good game. What He did was He lived out a worldview. He gave up His life brutally through passion, through His death, through His resurrection, in order to expand this worldview. Jesus gave us a share in a different vision on the world, different than anybody else in the whole world, in the universe, had ever conceived of before. He came to give us truth, reality. And what truth and reality are is this. He came to share this, that there is one God, period. He came to say that this one God relates to us in three divine persons, not just one, but this God is also three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, which is one, a family, a communion of persons. And in this family, God made everything that existed, formed it by His own hands, the product of His own divine genius. He did it out of nothing, effortlessly. In fact, God spoke a single word, and it all came into being. And the highlight of everything it is that God created is what? You. The human person. The human person is the highlight of everything that exists. Not some quasar that's distant in a galaxy. You. You're the reason. And not just the male. In fact, it's not just man. It's male and female. He created them as man. So it's not that the man images God. It's not that the woman images God. It's that man and woman together image who God is and His divine genius. Only together do they have the fullness of what the image of God is. And that's important. That inherent dignity shared by both of the sexes. Humanity as male and female wasn't created in order to be a slave. That's not why God did it. God created the human person, you and me, for friendship. He created us for love. He created us to be a part of a family, not in a mere human relationship way, one with another. No, for divine relationship with God. You see, the ancients thought that that was impossible. They thought that they would forever be unhappy because they couldn't have the best friends. They couldn't be friends with the gods. Because you can't be a friend with somebody who's at a higher level than you. A king can't be a friend of a pauper. There's too much of a difference. But what happened? That's why God sent His Son to become man. So that we could enter into a friendship with Him and return to be with Him as friends for all eternity. That should blow your mind enough to set you upon your own human dignity. When God did all of this, He also gave us a share in His own divine life so that we could be like Him, so that He could live within us and never be separated from us. That's amazing. You see, we have a wonderful Pope, don't we? Pope Francis, an amazing man, and what he's doing is constantly, for the whole time of his papacy, he is constantly calling the church back to her identity, to her mission, to recognize who she is. He is calling us to the reality of what? Becoming missionary disciples, which means we go out. He's calling us to take serious that message of Jesus Christ that is given for us in the gospel today, which is to go, to get out there. The Pope is saying, y'all need to beg. You need to beg God for the grace that He already wants to give you. To ask Him for that grace to get out into the world and, as he says it, to re-propose Jesus. To re-propose Jesus to a world that either has never heard of Him or who has heard about Him and just thinks His gospel is boring. Just thinks His gospel is meaningless. Just thinks that His gospel is just ordinary news, but it's not. The gospel isn't ordinary news. It's extraordinary news. It's life, earth-shattering news that we can be the friends of God and that He can live within us. This is amazing news. What is the good news? The good news is this. God is a warrior. You know that? God is a warrior. He is a warrior who fights valiantly for those whom He loves. Because why? He Himself is love itself. He's not somebody who's after lust, who's after trying to use and abuse to get what he can out of another person. No. God doesn't just talk sweet words, rub up to somebody so that he can get them and somehow take advantage of them. That's not what God does. God demonstrates his love, passionately fighting for us, suffering. That's it. Suffering has meaning. God so passionately demonstrates his love for us by becoming man, by suffering on the cross, because he reveals our identity as his beloved daughters, as his beloved sons, because he reveals his relationship to us as a loving, delighting father who's interested in everything that pops into our mind. And because of all that, you and I never have to be afraid of anything, ever. Never do we ever have to be afraid of anything, which doesn't mean that life is going to be all rosy, that it's going to be nothing but cotton candy and lollipops, that it's just going to be a great time. It doesn't mean that nothing bad is ever going to happen to us. But what it does mean is that he's always going to be with us. That he's never going to leave us or forsake us, not even for a moment. That we never have to be alone. That no matter what happens, God is going to give us his grace. That no matter what happens, God is always going to give us his strength to make it through. That no matter what happens, God is going to fill our lives with meaning, because nothing is meaningless with Christ. Nothing is empty with Christ. Everything that happens within our lives can be used by God. Remember what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Every single person, every single baptized Catholic here, you know you're called according to the purpose of Jesus Christ, right? That means all things, no matter what perspective you see them from, no matter how difficult and hard they are, God works them out for your good, because he loves you. He's a warrior. The good news that God wants to bring to us is this, that because this world that we live in feels trapped, because they feel that they are totally overcome with fear, the real question to us is this: how can all of you and I, who know these things, just sit on our hands? How is it that you and I, who know all these things to be true, don't go? How is it that you and I know all these things to be true, are not filled with a burning zeal, with a burning desire within our souls to share this gospel with every person that we encounter? To offer every single person in Our Lady of Guadalupe encounter this personal encounter with the person of Jesus Christ, because it's life-changing, because it changed us. The good news, the gospel that God wants to share with us is, yeah, it is that God is a warrior who fights for those he loved, but it's not just that. The really good news is that this love-driven warrior is coming after you, pursuing you, that God wants you, that God loves you, that he's inviting you out of that love into a friendship, that he's inviting you to something that's more, that he's inviting you to share within his life-shattering love, to give you true meaning even in the midst of something that seems meaningless. So what is it that he's calling us to do today? Let's keep it really practical and simple. Just two simple things. In that second reading, read what it says there. In Romans, St. Paul speaks to us and he says, you have received, each of you have received a spirit of adoption by which you can call out to God, Abba, that is, Father. The Holy Spirit bears witness within our own spirit that we're the children of God. And so we are, God's children. So when the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of the Lord cries out within us, there's peace, there's security, there's identity, there's confidence, there's freedom, there's trust, there's this shattering of everything that makes us afraid and think that we have to fear. So the first step that we need to take is this, all of us. The first step is for each of us to pray so that we'll be able to hear the voice of that Holy Spirit as he calls out within us, the voice of the Lord, so that those of us who today are afraid, those of us who today feel like we're trapped, that we feel like we're despondent, despairing, like life is empty and doesn't have meaning, so we can hear his voice and no longer be afraid, so we can find the freedom that he alone can give, so we could find true meaning, which is only found in Christ. We need to pray for that. That's the first step. But the second step is this. Because we have heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, because we have Him living within our lives, crying out within us, then how do we not, out of love for our brothers and sisters, try to release those who are similarly bound just as we used to be? Why don't we do that? If it's such good news, why don't we share it and try to help somebody else get freedom? Brothers and sisters, God has an extraordinary mission for the parish of St. Rosalima. He has an extraordinary, ambitious plan for our parish. And what He's doing is He's inviting everybody, all of us, to engage within that plan, to accomplish it. So let's be eager. Let's be eager and generous to respond to the mission which God has called this parish to, each one of us to, out of our own identity in Our Lady of Guadalupe County. Because so many of our neighbors, so many of our friends, so many of our families are locked in fear, in this pattern of worthlessness, thinking that life is meaningless, is empty, is brutish and short. But we know something different. That in God alone is their freedom. Freedom which He alone can give. And we know that the one whom the Son of Man sets free, Jesus Christ, is free indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.